Welcome back to His Time. I'm Eddie Bates, your host, and it is time for our special guest joining us by phone this morning, Chaplain Mike Marino, Director of Operation Barnabas. Good morning, Chaplain Marino.
Good morning, Andy. How are you?
Great. Good to have you with us this morning. Thanks so much for taking some time to talk with us about Operation Barnabas.
My pleasure to be with you.
Well, what is Operation Barnabas?
Operation Barnabas is the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's approach to working with military families. We started off with a strong focus on reserves, and we still do the reserve component, but we've really expanded to working with all military families. When the war broke out in 2003, in those years, our military families came under great stress, as well as did our service members. And we realized that those folks who lived on base had access to some supports. But those folks whose husbands and wives and fathers and mothers went off to war, who were left in places far removed from bases, Beamer, Nebraska, which is not too far from where I live. It has 300 folks. It has a grain elevator, but it also has a Lutheran church. And if the military could not be there to support in person our military families, well, goodness, our Lutheran churches could. And that's been our focus of providing support to our military families.
And how many, just a ballpark figure, how many military families do we have in our country today that we could serve?
Oh, goodness. It's got to be in the millions. I think the last numbers I heard were between 1.2 and 1.8 million service members, and each one of those has some type of family. But also we realize that a lot of the service members who have been in the service in the past 10 years are now leaving the service and going back to their civilian communities, civilian jobs. And that transition is difficult. And once you're a military family, you really stay a military family because the events and things that occur to one in the military continue to stay with you, both for good and for ill.
Hmm. And so what are some of the needs what are the needs of our military families?
Well, it's interesting you ask that. I was able to visit with some folks at the Pentagon a couple of years ago, and the three needs that have been strongly identified are education, when our military members are leaving the military, to be able to work on education, health care, and then also jobs. And really that's more of a transition, and we've got a large spectrum of folks who need some help or ways that we can serve them. If they're still serving, one of the things that we might be looking at doing is helping more with marriages. I happen to own a house, and I've learned as a homeowner that you need to regularly upkeep your house, or else you ignore it for 10 years. All of a sudden, you have a whole lot of things to work on. Well, a lot of our military families have been apart for 6 of 10 years, mm-hmm. 5 of 10 years. So those opportunities to strengthen their marriages have not been there. And those families and marriages are struggling at times. Are there ways that our churches could bring the love of Christ, be able to bring supports to those marriages, strengthen them in whatever way they can, both by holding them up in prayer, as well as offering opportunities to grow their marriage? There are a great number of things. In the early days, what a lot of churches wanted to do was to send care packages. And I have to be very clear, we still have people in harm's way today. We have people who are still in Afghanistan. There is an error in judgment of folks saying that the war is over. Well, you ask anybody who has a son or a daughter, a husband or wife in Bagram Air Force Base, they know without a doubt the war is not over. So we still want to continue care packages, still want to keep working with those folks who are deployed and supporting their families behind. Mm-hmm. I happened to deploy in 2003. And as I went with Marines into Iraq in 2003, we certainly had our hands full with what we were doing. And people would always ask, you know, we support you, we love you. That's great. But the best thing you can do for me if I'm overseas, the best thing I'll thank you for the rest of my life, is to take care of my family. Mm-hmm. If you can take care of my family when I can't, I will be in your debt forever.
And that's important. That makes a lot of sense. You know, caring for those families who, as you said, some are apart for 6 years or more. you know, for such a long time. That's that is really important. So education, healthcare, and jobs, making that transition back to civilian life and marriage sound like all important things that important needs that our military families need to be addressed and cared for. How do we go about providing for those needs and caring for them through Operation Barnabas?
Well, it's interesting you ask that, because really we've seen a kind of transition. I've been with Operation Barnabas since 2007, but last year I myself was mobilized. I worked for Synod, up at Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but I got a phone call from the Navy, and in January of last year I was mobilized to serve at Wounded Warrior Battalion at Camp Pendleton, California. I was there for 9 months working with wounded Marines and sailors as we transitioned them to get back to either return to full duty or to transition to the civilian sector. In my absence, we found an excellent individual, Pastor Gary Danielson, who was working with Lutheran Social Services of Georgia. He retired. He filled in during that time. And during that interim, we've had some time to step back because, as I said before, we really had focused on deploying family, deploying members, and there was such a strong focus on the warfighter and being overseas. And as I said before, they're still there. But now there is a large contingent that are no longer deploying. And so our efforts in caring for them also have to change. How can we now realize that we're moving towards a shrinking military force, but also a military force that's staying here? What do they need? How can we best serve them? In order to respond to that, we gathered about 12 folks from around the country who have been around, who have been involved with Operation Barnabas. And we pulled them together in St. Louis in November. And we said, we really want to stop for a moment and take an assessment. What do our military families need? We know what we've thought they need for the past few years, but as I said, there's a transition. And so that group right now is working to kind of refocus and have a look at current needs and how we can best serve those. But as a matter of fact, when we talk about what congregations can do, I'm very happy to be able to announce today that Operation Barnabas is having its second seminar conference on how churches can be involved. And if I recall correctly, in St. Louis you had just a little bit of snow this past week, is that correct?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Well, for those folks who are listening across the country and look outside their window and there's 17 feet of snow, next month in February 26th and 27th, we're going to meet together in San Antonio, Texas, at Mount Calvary Lutheran Church. And this conference is available for anybody who would like to be involved with Operation Barnabas. We're going to be able to talk about supporting and sharing our faith with military members, but we're also going to have people who have been involved with Barnabas since 2007 talking about best practices. How does one create a relationship with military folks in your community? If you're near a base, how do you create that relationship? If you're not near a base, how do you make contact with the National Guard, with the reserve units in your area? And we're going to learn a lot about that at this conference again in San Antonio on February 26th and 27th. And information for that conference, it will be posted by noon today at operationbarnabas.org, O-R-G.
Very good, very good. San Antonio sounds a little bit warmer than 12 inches of snow or so. 8 to 12 inches of snow here in St. Louis, and it was below zero the last couple of days. We finally broke that mark yesterday. So San Antonio sounds nice.
It does, it does. And we are so excited. One of our strongest partners with Operation Barnabas has been Lutheran Hour Ministries. They have done such an incredible job. As a matter of fact, last year they produced a video for families dealing with PTSD with their service members. Chaplain Steve Hocanna, who is one of our active duty chaplains, did that video in partnership with Lutheran Hour Ministries. It was so good it won a telly, which is like the Oscars for those short video forms. And we've talked to them again, And one of the things in terms of being able to help service members is certainly human care. How can we help you in your hour of need? Can we help you with your children? What can we do? And those certainly are, those acts of love and care and service have been so vital. But I've got to tell you, for Operation Barnabas, the very best gift that we can give to our military and their families is not a home-cooked meal, is not helping them move in when they arrive to a new place. Those are all wonderful, laudatory, and God-pleasing things. But the very best gift we have to give them is Jesus. And how is it that we can do that? Lutheran Hour Ministries is going to be at this conference, and we're going to spend an entire day looking to see how we can share our faith both in acts of service and in witness to be able to share Christ with these folks, because quite frankly, we are church. Mm-hmm. We have a lot to offer, and we gladly do so, but the very reason for our existence is Christ.
That's so true. Witness and mercy go hand in hand. We bring both when we are the church, and we bring that good news of Jesus and acts of mercy to our friends, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, I want to hear more about what your plans are for the future with Operation Barnabas and how to adapt to the changing needs of our military and our military families. So stick around as we continue talking here on His Time with Chaplain Mike Marino from Operation Barnabas.
The official end of Christmas was last Sunday, but because of the blizzard of 2014, Good Shepherd Lutheran in Collinsville, Illinois will unofficially celebrate the close of the season this Sunday, January 12th. Join us at 4 p.m. as the musicians of Good Shepherd, along with a 17-member orchestra, present John Levitt's Christmas cantata, What Child Is This? For the church address and more information, please visit us online at goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and glad to be with you this morning. It's a slow start to the morning. It's still cold out there, but not too cold, I guess, for those who are serving in warmer places, but we're certainly including them in our prayers today. We're talking with Chaplain Mike Marino from Operation Barnabas. Before we went to break, Mike, we were talking about some of the things that that we can do, the important things, like bringing Jesus, the love of Jesus to our military families. What are some other things when it comes to, you know, you talked about like, you know, a nice home cooked meal and helping them move in. What are some other things that that Operation Barnabas is planning for the future? How to adapt to the changing needs of our military and military families?
You know, as we mentioned before, that transition is still an occurrence. As we talked with the folks at the Pentagon who identified those three needs of education, medical, and job transition, we find that throughout the country, the needs are different, say in California, Vice Texas, et cetera. And one of the things that we've really struggled with, quite frankly, many programs and approaches will come out with a template. You follow A, B, C, D, and E. And Operation Barnabas really doesn't fit into that. For example, if a church is going to say, hey, we want to work with our military members in this location, we want to do this. Well, it will, quite frankly, depend upon the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given that particular church. So in a church, say, that has a smaller membership may do something different than that has a larger membership. For example, a congregation may have a medical doctor, may have a psychologist who may be able to say, hey, there are things that I can do in terms of my vocation that we can utilize to reach out to these folks in this area. And not everyone has those particular things, so it's really almost custom-made. And when we visit with the congregation, we have them take stock. What are the things that you have to offer? Additionally, where does your heart lead you? What are you called or drawn to do? that may be working with military children. Military children, for example, oftentimes they move around quite a bit, so they have the blessing and the experience of being able to make friends quickly. But at the same time, there are some struggles that they have. For example, if military kids were to come to our Lutheran day schools, well, when a military family moves in, if we can give that teacher just a few insights into that family, mm-hmm. it helps them so much being able to reach that child, both with the education as well as love of Christ, to realize some of the factors that impact that young person's life so very much. For example, as we talked about earlier with repeated deployments, we have children who are 10 years old, 11 years old, who have seen their dad for four of those years or five of those years. What type of impacts would that have? What can our churches do to help foster that relationship? So again, perhaps we might be talking about having an event for father and sons to be able to spend time together, mother-daughter, something along those lines. Again, we talked about that house being neglected for 10 years. Well, our families haven't been neglected. They simply have not had the opportunity to create and nurture those bonds. But are there ways that our churches can do that? Boy, what an opportunity, both to give the love of Christ, but also to let that family see God's plan for their family, a loving, nurturing family, honoring father and mother and honoring their children, and how one builds a family up like that as God would intend. What an opportunity.
You mentioned earlier the conference coming up in San Antonio. Are there other things that congregations or individuals can do to get connected to Operation Barnabas and find out about the resources, how their congregation can do these things that you're talking about, whether they have a school or whatever resources and gifts they have? How can they get connected with Operation Barnabas and learn more about how they can care for the military and military families?
Well, they certainly can contact us through the website, but also one thing that's really nice, as I've been gone, we've had, as I mentioned, Pastor Gary Danielson, Chaplain Gary Danielson, assisting, and he's still with us. And we have another chaplain out in California, Chaplain Bill Brunold, who also assisted part-time. So now we don't have just one individual you can call upon, but three individuals. And we've really kind of separated the nation into three parts. The East Coast, Gary's taking care of most of that. I've got the Midwest, and then Bill will help with the West Coast. And we certainly are able to share that responsibility. But as the congregation calls and says, "Hey, we want to find out more," well, now we've got three individuals to be able to help speak to you by phone, come out to visit. Any number of opportunities to continue to give you that information. The webpage is up, and we're going to continue to make that even more robust so that our congregation says, "Hey, what can we do?" One click to that website. Right now we have the information. We've got a few ideas. But shortly we're going to have that website up so that not only do you have a few ideas, but almost a step-by-step path to say, what can our congregation do? And you can get ideas there. But if you have further questions, boy, we're right here ready to answer those questions for you.
Very good. Well, what a great resource, especially for, you know, quite often we think maybe just congregations near a military base, but our families are all over the place. They don't necessarily have to be right by a military base. Veterans and just military families of all kinds are all over the country, and there are plenty of ways for us to serve them. Operation Barnabas sounds like a great way to help us get ideas and resources to help us serve those families and care for them so that the house isn't neglected, as you said.
Exactly, and I can't let this interview end without giving credit to the fellow really who had this idea of how our church could really impact military families. The current director of Ministry Armed Forces is Mark Schreiber, and he's had this on his heart and wanted to do this for the longest time, and he was able to work to make this position and this program happen where our church can go out to the military community, be able to share the love of Christ. And so everything that we're able to do really is an answer to Mark's prayer, and we're so grateful for his leadership and allowing us to take these steps to care for military families.
Very much so. And we're grateful for his leadership and for those who partner with him and with us, with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, to make that happen so that, as you said, so those prayers can be answered as God uses those people to do so. Well, we've been talking with Chaplain Mike Marino of Operation Barnabas, director of Operation Barnabas. Mike, thank you so much for spending some time with us talking this morning about the Operation Barnabas and all that you're doing. We really appreciate your work.
Andy, thank you so much for the time.
You bet. God's blessings to you as well. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to study God's Word. Looking forward to studying that with Pastor Michael Muscatis from Grangeville. He's from Trinity Lutheran Church in Grangeville, Idaho. Looking forward to studying that with him. We're going to take a look at Romans chapter 1, continuing verses 18 and following, all right here on His Time. Good stuff. And then after that, we'll join together for morning prayer as well. So stick around, lots of God's Word and prayer to start your day here on Worldwide KFUO, the Messenger of Good News.